Thank you for spending another midweek moment with WPT. Before we get started, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, WPT. We are excited to partner with you in providing quality benefits at lower prices. We are thrilled to introduce a new program that will complement your current health coverage. It has a direct effect on reducing healthcare spending with a proven return on investment. We have found this program is excellent at attracting and retaining quality employees while helping to drive better health outcomes. And the cost of the plan builds out at no cost to you. We're excited to present this opportunity to the members of WPT Incorporated. Security Plus LLC has been reducing the cost of employee benefits across the country for decades, and we'd like to add you to that growing list of satisfied customers.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Paul Rozeski. Today is the 10th of April, 2024, and it's springtime in Wisconsin. In last week's intro, I talked about how winter had arrived slightly late. It felt like an old school winter in Wisconsin. Well then, what a difference a week makes. Even in the most northern reaches of the state, it will hit the mid-60s today. I talked to a guy this morning that'll be hitting the links for the first time this year. Didn't surprise me that it was raining sideways on Brewers opening day not too long ago. A perfect trifecta of what spring weather looks like. Not to jinx anything, but I sure wouldn't be surprised if all three of those things repeated sooner than later. Until then, let's jump into some news together. First up, let's look at the statistics trickling out as people digest, analyze, and write about changes and increases in tax levels. Some was from a company called Adam. They're a data and analytics company focused on the real estate market. Nationally, looking at single-family homes, property taxes jumped 3.6% in 2022, 1.6% in 2021, and 5.4% in 2020. That's a total of 10.6% over a three-year period. Interestingly, the average single-family home estimated value rose 7.9%. in 1 year. And while that'll vary from area to area, both of those percentages are drastically an above average jump. As we know in Wisconsin, the total amount of taxes can only go up so much. We've referred to that as the local levy limits. In theory, even if home values go up 10%, property taxes will only go up according to what's allowable within those limits. So, really, in a way, what this does is give municipalities more runway for tax increases down the line. To allow for future end tax increases, assessments will go way up, mill rates can be adjusted down, and then creep their way back up slowly over time. The challenge is, there's a lot of things that play into how much those jumps can happen in those limits. New construction, state aids, unused levy from the previous year, intergovernmental cooperation agreements, the list goes on. There's actually pages of bullet points of items that are adjusted for things that need to be considered. What concerns me is how the obligation is divvied up. With commercial real estate being in flux right now, and if that decreases with small business challenges, more people working from home, do those property tax obligations get divvied up between a diminishing number of businesses and office spaces, and do the rest get piled on to the residential market? Seems like a rhetorical question to me. Chances are yes. Another part of the information trickle is that as time goes on, everybody is becoming increasingly unhappy. The Wall Street Journal report, or a Wall Street Journal report, showed that $100 in groceries 5 years ago costs $140 today. Not great. Property taxes are up, gas is more expensive, and individually everyone is more stretched and therefore more unhappy. By the latest numbers, Wisconsin is still in the top 10 of property tax burden. On the other side, local services are stretched and those folks are unhappy too. They're dealing with inflation also. According to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, the trend in school referendums this year was a telltale sign. The ratio of capital improvement requests and expansions were down, and money referendums for covering basic operating expenses were up. Overall, 40% of the referendums got shot down, which is definitely higher than average. It makes me nervous because the legislature is more distracted than normal with new maps, lots of reshuffling, retirements on both sides of the aisle, and once the dust settles on the election battlefield, it will be a second consecutive session with a much higher ratio of rookie lawmakers. And how did that work out for us last time? Two budgets ago, the budget increased in size by $7 billion. The biggest increase in our state's history in a legislative session with a high rookie ratio. The budget increased this last budget by $13 billion. The increase almost doubled. The one thing that has been consistently acknowledged is that there are some hard decisions that need to be made, and the sooner they're made, the better. One unfortunate possibility is that there won't be enough tenured, self-assured, confident lawmakers to effectively push back on this quickly getting out of control like it has the past two consecutive budgets. I'm asking the questions and not getting a ton of specific satisfying answers yet. As I start getting them, and if I start getting them, I'll let you know. In other news, we have updates and examples of government dysfunction. Shocker. Which one do you ask? Well, there's so many of them. Fair point. I'm talking about PFAS in our water supply. It's an issue an overwhelming percentage of our members think is important for us to confront and deal with, and one that is caught in the quagmire of government power struggle, the broken record of Governor Evers and the legislature disagreeing. In this case, they agree something should be done and agree on 90% of the solution, but the remaining 10% turns into a power struggle, and so we get 100% gridlock. With this one, we had a bipartisan bill until the Republicans add something at the 11th hour. The Democrats see it as giving big business and polluters an opening to avoid accountability and get off the hook. Republicans see it as a stipulation so businesses aren't held accountable for fixing massive problems they didn't cause. Well, they don't agree. Republicans pass their version of the bill anyway. Governor Evers vetoes it, and the money approved in the state budget a year ago doesn't get used to address the problem. Gotta love it. Veto a bill that specifies where and how the money is spent, and then blast weekly press releases of outrage that the money isn't released. Okay, the same power struggle with a bill that I talked about a couple weeks ago to address hospital closures in western Wisconsin is another example. Designed to help keep emergency rooms and access to emergency medicine in those rural areas. It's another Republican initiative. Democrats don't disagree with it, but are irritated and frustrated that they weren't included in making it happen. In this one, Governor Evers partially vetoes the bill and changes what the money can be spent on. Instead of a bill focused to address a specific issue, the money can be spent in a much broader way. Another change at the 11th hour where one side feels like the other side of the aisle isn't working in good faith and the power struggle ensues. So, what's the next step that happens with this one? The Joint Finance Committee doesn't release the funds. With these two things hanging out there, the PFAS money and the hospital emergency room money, not going anywhere, Governor Evers calls for a special session of the Joint Finance Committee to meet next Tuesday the 16th. Seriously, why? We already know where everybody's at. Unless things are happening behind the scenes, nothing is changing. Calling for a special session is another power play move that at best gets us no closer to a solution and probably makes everyone dig in their heels that much more. Super. Exactly what we're used to and exactly what we don't need. On that note, I will leave you with a quote that, while from a controversial figure, fits perfectly in summing up this episode. Leroy Eldridge Cleaver that said, quote, "You either have to be part of the solution or you're going to be part of the problem," unquote. Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members observing quagmire in every corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.